Hi, True Crime Daily listeners. I've got a bonus for you in the feed today. It's a show I think you're going to love called We Can Do Hard Things. We all do hard things every day. Things like loving and losing, caring for children and parents, forging and ending relationships, battling addiction, illness, and loneliness, but often struggle in silence. That's where Glennon Doyle, her wife Abby Wambach, and sister Amanda Doyle come in. Twice a week, the three, with help from guests like Jane Fonda, Oprah Winfrey, and the former First Lady Michelle Obama, strive to find light in darkness. They laugh, cry, and help each other carry the hard in hopes of living a bit braver and less alone. I'm excited to bring you a listen into an episode from cult recovery advocate Sarah Edmondson. Sarah joins Glennon and Abby to talk about her path from NXIVM top recruiter to the whistleblower who helped take down the cult and its leader, Keith Raniere. Take a listen.
Welcome to We Can Do Hard Things. This is going to be a fascinating episode. Today, I want you all to know that we are going to talk about some hard things. One being cults and other organizations who are, as our guest would say, a little bit culty, including detailed discussion of cult culture and sexual coercion. Now, I want you all to understand that I am slightly obsessed with cults.
Yes, me too.
And high control groups. And NXIVM really got me.
Yep.
Here's the thing. I don't look at it as like a salacious, how could you get involved in this situation when I watch this stuff or learn about this stuff. I think of it as a way we can all learn about how control groups work and how mind control works and how, you know, all you have to do is look at our country and the divisiveness and see how people can control other people's thinking, smart people, seeker people, and the effects that that has, and how we are all, a lot of us are in groups that are a little bit culty.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. That was Sarah.
Okay. Absolutely.
Sarah Edmondson is an actor, podcaster, author, and cult recovery advocate. Sarah has starred in a number of TV series, yet she is most recently known for her real-life saga, escaping the multi-level marketing company, important to note that that's what they really are, NXIVM, and DOS, a secret sisterhood within NXIVM, which can also be seen on HBO's The Vow.
Watch it.
Abby and I may have watched it twice, the entire thing twice. Sarah's memoir, Scarred, shares her true story from the moment she joined NXIVM to her harrowing fight to get out and bring its founder to justice. Sarah co-hosts the podcast A Little Bit Culty with her husband, Anthony Nippy Ames.
Nippy!
Nippy and Abby and I go way back. I mean, we've probably spent more time with him than you have with this.
I think it's true.
Yeah.
And lives in Atlanta with her husband and two sons. Sarah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I have to say, this has been in my virtual vision board for a very long time, probably since Untamed came out. And I just knew that we would talk one day. I didn't know when, but I felt it and I visualized it and fantasized about it. And to have it come true like this is truly very meaningful and I'm grateful to be here. I'm going to try not to cry too much.
You don't have to try.
Yeah, we do crying a lot here.
Let's go back, Sarah, to, yes. I would love to spend some time talking about the specifics of what happened to you and then what happened to them because of you,
yes.
Which is amazing. And then let's get into like how we can all freaking learn from this experience. This is a meaningful Venn diagram for me because Untamed is largely about how do we create lives and relationships and families and communities where people are held by belonging, but also free. Mm. Because in so many groups, we are not just cults, but like all groups, we have organized human beings in a way where we get to choose our individuality or choose our belonging, but we often don't get to do both in families, in churches, in companies. So this is a fascinating conversation to me. And I think specifically to this pod. So long ago in the olden days of yore, you were living in Vancouver. You were a struggling actor.
Yeah.
You were setting all your intentions. You were a seeker and a half like me and Abby.
Yes.
Seeking. Where's my purpose? Where's my people? And you go on a cruise.
Yes.
And then tell us about what happens.
Probably also listening to the Indigo Girls at the same time.
Of course. Yes. Of course. Yes.
So I'm going to this cruise with my boyfriend at the time, who I'd also been struggling with, like, is this the guy I'm going to marry? Are we going to work through our stuff? What's my purpose? All the things you just said so beautifully. And I meet Mark Vicente, the director of What the Bleep Do We Know, which at the time, in the yonder days of yore, 2005, this was when this was a really big film. And it was a film that shifted consciousness.
Mm-hmm. It's my favorite
and
movie.
She loves it.
Yeah. Movie. Okay. So 100%. There you go. And I had set the intention of going on this cruise and finding my purpose. I knew I was going to be with a bunch of spiritual people. And I was seated across from him, where I basically had a conversation with him that changed the whole trajectory of my life. And he had just come from an NXIVM training himself. He wasn't a coach or anything, but he'd been a student and had a profound experience, and asked me a couple of questions that shifted my belief system around love and attention. And I'd been really sick, and I had this recognition, or they would call it an integration, an aha, that, oh, I was just trying to get love and attention from my boyfriend through sickness. It was just how I got it from my mother, and that's an old pattern, and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And in the mix of this 1 week, by the way, it was in the Caribbean, so this beautiful surroundings with all these spiritual people, and I'm looking for my purpose. And Mark Vicente basically tells me about a group of humanitarians that are trying to change the world, and we're all doing these incredible projects. And the main thing that drew me to him wasn't even so much about, like, I know he mentioned Keith, the leader, who is the smartest man in the world, blah, blah. That didn't draw me. It was the community. I felt, mm-hmm. I thought I'd found my wolf pack, and I was, you know, so excited about that. But also, I really loved him. I really looked up to Mark. And I thought that if I could transition from the kind of fluffy acting that I'd been doing to pay the bills into media that shifts consciousness, mm-hmm. as with him, then that would be more meaningful. And that's really what I wanted to do. So he could have really told me that he was doing anything, and I would have been like, I'm on board. I want to mm-hmm. work with you. I want to do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of him introducing me to executive success programs, which is, we didn't refer to it as NXIVM at the time. It was ESP. And I really jumped in. I had on my website and all over my room at the time, Leap and the Net Will Appear. So mm-hmm. I was doing that and not researching, which is something I recommend to everybody now. If they're going to join a group, research. Mm-hmm. And the net did appear for some time, but then it disappeared.
So you go to an ESP executive. Tell me what, I never knew what that meant. What
is it? Executive success training.
Okay.
Executive success program. Mm-hmm. It was a training.
Okay. So ESP. He invites you to this training of this group.
Yes.
It's called a human potential program.
Yes.
Right? So tell us what happens at the first meeting. Like what are they yes. saying? What are you feeling?
I believed I was taking a training that would upgrade my software, mm-hmm. that would upgrade my belief system mm-hmm. in a conversational, philosophical. I'm taking a personal and professional development program in a Holiday Inn mm-hmm. with a group of like-minded individuals. That's not what a cult looks like. Yeah. That's white robes mm-hmm. and drinking blood and all the weird things that we used to think of with cults. But there were weird things on day one. And luckily, Mark had preempted me and said, it's going to be weird. This was my experience. It was very strange. But, you know, wait till day three and everything will make sense. And also the leaders were, I've since learned, trained by Keith and Nancy, the leadership, to preempt our visceral, our gut reactions to the things that were bad and wrong, mm-hmm. namely sashes, bowing to somebody I'd never met named Vanguard, having to call Nancy the prefect. All of these things now, knowing what I know, are very, very obvious mm-hmm. red flags. But they said, you're here, you know, you've paid your money. It's not refundable. I think she even said something like, wouldn't you agree that all successful people have limitations and they know their limitations and they're wanting to work on them? You say, yeah, sure. So you're like, that's the first lift. And they'd say, okay, great. So what are your limitations? So that now you've already admitted you have limitations. Mm-hmm. And then there's the preempt of when you hit your limitations, when you hit an area of growth, it's going to be uncomfortable, which is also true. If you've been in therapy, mm-hmm. it's uncomfortable to work through your shit. So we already agree to that. And they say, so when you hit up against your shit, you're going to want to bolt. You're going to want to flirt. You're going to want to eat. You're going to want to smoke. And we just ask you to stay in the room and work through it. Hmm. And so you agree to that. But that's tricky because I had so many impulses to leave because it didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. But I'd paid my money. Mm-hmm. I trusted Mark and I was committed to my growth. Mm-hmm. And we said before every class, clap, we are committed to our success. Okay, I'm committed to my success. I'm here to grow. This doesn't feel right, but no pain, no gain. I'm going to muscle through it. Mm. And that was the beginning of my indoctrination right from day one, accepting that somebody above me in the structure. So this martial arts structure of growth, which is one of the things that eventually appealed to me, especially coming from acting where there's no measurement. Mm. Now I could measure my growth. And if I did one thing, I could expect an outcome. And I loved that. But in that structure, the person above you in the ranking system knows better than you. So there's this immediate power over, which is one of the red flags that I'm now subjugating my own belief about myself and my own knowing about myself to what somebody else sees and knows. And that's that set me up for the rest of my time there and, you know, the eventual demise of me as a leader and then ultimately the program.
If you want to hear more from Glennon, Abby, and Amanda's conversation with Sarah Edmondson, head over to We Can Do Hard Things, episode 157. If you like what you hear, join them and guests like Tracy Ellis Ross, Gloria Steinem, Elizabeth Gilbert, Brandi Carlile, and Brené Brown every Tuesday and Thursday on the free Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.